Second Skin by Toft, read by Dodificus. Hey boy, some service over here. As John rounded the corner of the long wooden table, swaying with the tray of drinks, a clammy hand slapped the back of his thigh and slid down to the crease of his knee, leaving a damp stain on John's bare skin. And for a brief instant, John thought of the long, slow peel of a knife. His thighs were slick with sweat and beginning to chafe where they were forced together, and his jaw hurt from clenching it so tightly shut. "It's a good look for you, John Shepherd," Saris leered. His hollow eyes and spare face, framed by close-cropped black hair, made him look like a corpse. John showed his teeth and thought very hard at him. "When I get my gun back, I'm going to shoot you in the balls." Saris's grin hardened a bit, and he leaned over and slapped John on the arse, hard, then slid his hand up John's side, slipped his fingers up under the fabric that clung to John's chest, and they felt like hot little worms burrowing into John's skin. "Enjoying this, Colonel?" he whispered, and pressed his thumb down hard into one of the bruises on John's ribs. "Fuck you," John grated out. He stared at the point above Jarrus's shoulder, thought, 2,389, 2,393, 2,399, 2,411. Fucking prime, Rodney. Saris palmed his bare ass under the skirt and squeezed, and John didn't move. Didn't move. When the guy with the black eye, from Taylor's elbow before they'd been split up, had thrown the folded bundle of fabric at John in the cell and sneered, "The commander requests your presence." For a moment, his insides had dissolved in cold panic, in the utter certainty that they knew. They knew. How could they know? But then he'd forced himself to take a deep breath, rationalize. It was just a little humiliation, letting him know who was boss, in lieu of any actual torture, since this Saris arsehole had been clearly shaken by the team's extremely vocal insistence that they were from the lost city of Atlantis and that reinforcements would be on their way. John could deal with this. Still, his voice had shaken just a little when he drawled, "I don't think so." Rodney had snapped, slightly hysterically, at his left. "Oh my God! Is this really the time? My life is more important than your macho self-image." And that made it easier, oddly. Although when they'd made him strip off his uniform at gunpoint, well, pistols really, crude and nasty, pointed at Rodney, not John. He felt like it was his skin being peeled off, leaving his insides exposed to the air. The skirt was short, made of treated leather, and it slid further up over his thighs if he took steps as long as he was used to. The halter neck was really mostly collar, with a token attempt at covering the chest, made of something stretchy and synthetic, and left his back and shoulders bare, except where the silver chain lay cold and alien against his skin. They'd taken his dog tags and given him this instead. It had a medallion engraved into the same insignia as was painted on the flag on the wall of their hall, and looked like it could be connected to something else, like a leash. With those clothes on, with Rodney looking deliberately at the wall, thin-lipped and silent, John felt more exposed than if he'd been naked. And on the long walk to the hall, he couldn't stop shivering. When the first guy smacked his ass, John lashed out quickly, surprising them, and nearly broke the guy's arm. But he'd gotten a pistol whip across the shoulders for that, along with the reminder that McKay was still in the cell, and he'd better fucking cooperate if he wanted to see the guy alive again, and in one piece. Which he did. So he crawled inside himself, as far as he could go, until the whoops of the grunts, Hey, good looking. Your parents bar slaves, boy? Sounded tinny and far away. 107, he thought. 109. 113. 127. Oh, thank God! Came Rodney's voice, loud and frightened over the screech of the metal door as they marched John back to the cell. And it was like breaking the surface after being underwater for hours. Are you okay? Oh, Jesus. Grunt number two indicated that John should take off the sandals he had been issued, and John towed them off, wincing as the movement rubbed the shackles against his raw ankles, and thought, 5,507. As they unlocked the second, barred door, and he shuffled into the cell, hands still cuffed, Rodney exhaled sharply, but still didn't say anything. Everything okay in here, Rodney? John rasped, and was surprised at what an effort it was. He stepped back against the bars for the soldiers to uncuff him, and the sound of the key turning the door hurt his ears. He was slowly letting go his hold, coming out, blinking slowly and beginning to shake, wakefulness returning like blood flowing back into a frozen limb. Rodney was twitching, backed right over to the other side of the cell and looking everywhere but John. Finally, he coughed a little in his throat and said, faintly at first, then gathering volume, "Yes, yes, I'm fine, although you would not believe what these morons." And he was off, thank God. Thank God, drowning out everything with reassuring noise, making things normal. The cuffs went snick, click behind him, and John hunched forward and rolled his shoulders with a sigh as the grunts marched out and locked the metal outer doors behind them. But Rodney faltered, stopped. John looked around and caught Rodney then, his eyes wide and scared, but flickering up and down over John's body. And there was almost an audible snap in John's head as Rodney saw him staring, dropped his gaze to the side and swallowed. And John thought, with a sudden hot clarity of rage, that motherfucking bastard, he's checking me out. He'd had stares scraping his skin raw for hours. And Rodney. Rodney's stare was burning him like salt. And John hated it. Hated him. Was across the cell in an instant and grabbing him by the collar, shoving him backwards so that he stumbled over his own feet until John caught him again, pulled him upright. "You want some, McKay?" he snarled into Rodney's face, pushed him backwards again before he could answer. And the noise Rodney made when he hit the wall was sharp and sweet. So John moved in, put his hands on Rodney's broad shoulders, pinning him, and pressed his mouth against Rodney's, bit down on his lip hard enough that Rodney jerked backwards and hit his head. He could feel Rodney's quick breaths fluttering against his face, and Rodney said, "Wait, oh my God, John, did they drug you? Are you drugged?" "Yeah, Rodney, that's what they did," John hissed. And then he had his tongue in Rodney's hot, welcoming mouth, and Rodney's hands on his back and waist, stroking away the grimy residue of stares and touches. Someone was making broken, desperate sounds, and when John realized it was himself, he tried to pull away. But Rodney's hand was buried in his hair now, and somehow he'd been turned around so he was backed against the wall. "John," Rodney gasped, his breath hot and damp on John's bare shoulder. This isn't... Oh, God. Like this, I can't." But John was lost now, couldn't stop himself. The whole last few hours were crashing over him like a wave and pulling him under, drowning him. And he was choking, gasping in Rodney like air, murmuring, "Please, please," into his neck and trying to rub against his thigh without much success, the friction vague and frustrating through the stiff leather. Rodney made a noise like terror in his throat, and bent to lick John's shoulder, then slid further down, oh God, onto his knees, dropped sloppy, frantic kisses onto the bare stretch of skin above John's hip, his stomach, then shoved the skirt up around John's hips and put his mouth on his cock. John's head dropped back and he had to bite back a scream, because Jesus fuck, Rodney was licking a wet trail up his dick under his skirt, and it was so fucking hot that his spine had turned to lava and was melting, dripping down the wall. He'd been half hard for hours, from the moment he'd put on the skirt, aching from the fear they'd notice, that they'd see. And now it was like Rodney was cutting him open with his mouth. John squeezed his eyes shut and sucked in air, closed mouth, fists clenched by his sides. But he still sobbed out a yell when he came, clean heat stabbing him like a knife. And he had to grab blindly at Rodney's shoulders to hold himself up. Jesus, he panted. Jesus, Rodney. Rodney spat on the floor, wiped his mouth and said thickly, shut up, oh God, into John's thigh. And then he was standing again, scrabbling at his pants and shoving against John like he couldn't concentrate enough to do one or the other, making these choked, desperate noises with every forward thrust of his hips. John was still shaking and his muscles felt like rubber. But between them, they managed to finally get Rodney's fly undone. Then John grabbed Rodney's wrist and pulled his hand down between them. Rodney caught on quickly and wrapped one hand around himself with a grateful whimper as John stroked his thumb over the soft, pale skin of Rodney's wrist. After about four strokes, Rodney ground up against John, pressed his face against his collarbone, and came with a choked-off yell. He shuddered for a couple of seconds, then slumped against John. He smelled like sweat and burning rubber, and he was heavy, solid, and John held on to him like he was falling. After a couple of minutes, during which he maybe fell asleep, Rodney dropped an absent little kiss on John's neck, which made John jerk, surprised. Rodney stiffened and pulled himself back and away, and the wall was cold against John's bare calves and shoulders. The rawness on his inner thighs where they'd been chafing earlier was stinging with sweat and cum, and he was suddenly unable to stand the clothes against his skin for one more second. His hands didn't seem to work properly, though, and he was shoving ineffectually at the skirt and swearing before Rodney sighed and battered John's hands away, said, "Oh, for God's sake, let me," and undid the tiny catch with his clever fingers. Then, finally, the skirt was sliding down over John's legs, and he was stepping out of it, leaving it standing up on its own on the floor, a weird, stiff little husk. He kicked it into the corner, then stripped off the top too, and wiped himself off with it before hurling it after the skirt. Rodney huffed with irritation when John just stood there, naked and shivering, rubbing his biceps and shifting from foot to foot. He bent down and started to pull off his trainers, but it was only when he kicked them off and started to undo his fly again that John caught a clue, backed away and said, "Hey, whoa, I appreciate the thought, Rodney." Then felt suitably abashed when Rodney pulled his pants off and handed them to him, giving him a patent and McKay, "Oh my God, you're such an idiot," glare. John pulled them on, shaky with gratitude, as Rodney stripped off his jacket and tossed that to him too. Rodney's pants didn't quite fit, but it was like getting his skin back, like waking up again inside his own body after his mind had been in the Aurora. "Shepherd," Rodney said abruptly, looking ridiculous in his t-shirt and boxers, his legs pale and hairy above his socks. "Are you... what the fuck do you think?" John snarled tiredly. wincing as the rough fabric of Ronnie's pants brushed the blisters at the backs of his ankles. And already it was easier to breathe. Ronnie just watched him for a minute, his eyes narrowed slightly, chin forward. Then he said, "Right. Yes, fine." And for once, John couldn't tell at all what he was thinking. By the time the guards turned up to return them to the delegation from Atlantis, led by a royally pissed off Elizabeth, John's hands weren't shaking anymore. His feet were bare as they walked back to the jumper, but he had the jacket zipped all the way up, and it was Rodney they all stared at as he strode into the daylight, glaring, in his underwear and shoes. When they got back to Atlantis, John showered for about half an hour, then ran until his lungs were burning and his whole body hurt, then showered again and collapsed into bed. It was only then, as he stared at the ceiling and waited to fall asleep, that it occurred to him that technically he'd had sex with Rodney. It felt weirdly remote in John's mind, though, like a memory that belonged to someone else. And when he thought deliberately, "I kissed him," he couldn't remember how it had felt. He shrugged, turned to face the wall, and didn't think about it anymore. At the morning meeting, Elizabeth held out her hand, cupped around a glint of silver. "I forgot to give you these yesterday," she said, her smile apologetic. John's dog tag slithered into his upturned palm, and the slide of the chilly metal against his skin when he pulled them over his head made the hairs on the back of his neck stand on end. He was too aware of the weight of the chain resting against his collarbone, slowly drawing heat from his body, and he could feel Rodney's eyes on him. At the end of the meeting, he walked straight back to his quarters, avoiding the eyes of everyone who passed, sure that they were staring, and had his fly open and his hand on his cock before he had the door completely shut. After he came, he thumped his forehead against the wall and whispered, "Fuck, fuck, fuck," until he couldn't feel the dog tags anymore. He lost Rodney's uniform in the laundry at the first opportunity, figuring it would find its way back eventually. He went running with Ronan, got beat up by Taylor, did paperwork, trained 3 Marines and a biologist to fly Jumper 3. Then made an emergency landing with no power after Henderson inexplicably shut one down mid-flight. Apparently thanks to the distraction powers of Quodru throwing up in the back. The next morning, John arrived at the jumper bay early, because although Kavanagh had assured him that he'd fixed whatever John had broken when he brought them down, John felt that he should take the baby out first for a nice smooth ride to apologise. Rodney was there, on his knees, on the floor of the jumper, staring with intent concentration at a panel, and John had to step back abruptly and take a few deep breaths to calm down his flashback-induced hard-on. "Oh, hey," said Rodney distractedly, when John had just about gotten over it and announced his presence by coughing. "Quiet, thinking. Pass me that." He waved vaguely in the direction of a small black thing, which John picked up gingerly and handed over. The light from the crystals made Rodney's face look pale, tense, and it made John twitchy to look at him. But just as he was about to leave, Rodney said, "Since you obviously don't have anything better to do than gape like a 4-year-old, you can sit in the front and bring me up some system readouts, so I can work out if it's possible to permanently screw up one of these things by having the concentration of a goldfish." So John did, because he was actually kind of interested in that himself. And he always enjoyed this, dipping his mind into the jumper's interface, feeling the click of rightness when he thought in the right direction and the grids of light jumped up in front of him. Rodney pulled himself up with a huffed grunt, then came to look over John's shoulder and hummed a few times. Then he said, totally casually, "So, Have you been avoiding me because we had sex, or because I saw you dressed like Xena? The grids broke into static as John whipped around to look behind Rodney into the bay, and they flickered out entirely when he slumped back in the chair, satisfied that no one had heard, but sweating cold and feeling like he was about to have a heart attack. "Wow, that's reassuring," said Rodney. "Remind me to never let you fly me anywhere ever again." "I don't know if you've heard, McKay," John rasped through gritted teeth, "but there's this rule in the military where you're not supposed to ask." "Well, excuse me," hissed Rodney. "Maybe if you'd, oh, I don't know, told me sometime before I spent a week distracted by guilt because I thought I'd taken advantage of your intoxicated state, that you weren't, in fact, on drugs, I'd be a little more sympathetic. If I hadn't happened to mention it to Carson..." John leapt up blindly, but Rodney cut him off before he could speak. "Oh, shut up. Obviously I didn't say. How stupid do you think I am? I might have made a fatal error in some calculations and blown up the city, all because of your pathetic masculinity." John pushed past Rodney, keeping his fists tightly clenched at his sides and his mouth firmly shut. Because, contrary to the beliefs of his superiors, he did actually have a survival instinct, and right now it was telling him to get the hell out of there before he did some serious damage. "Don't worry, Colonel," Rodney spat, already turning back to the wiring. "I'm sure there's some ascended priestess out there who'd be happy to let you wear her panties." Then, quite abruptly, Rodney's head was snapping to the side as John's fist connected with his jaw, and Rodney was sprawled on the floor of the jumper as John cradled his knuckles, because he hadn't thrown such a fucking sloppy punch since grade school. "Ow!" said Rodney, sounding amazed. "Oh my God, you hit me!" He moved his head experimentally, then sat up holding his jaw, and pulled off his radio to check it. "Wow, that really was completely unnecessary." John stared at his knuckles, which were already swelling up a bit and hurt, then back at Rodney, who was picking himself up off the floor. "You hit me," he said again, insistently, as if John were denying it. "You hit me, and therefore you have a thing." Rodney stabbed his finger into John's chest triumphantly, and John tried not to flinch. "A thing?" Rodney lowered his voice conspiratorially. "A dressing up thing. A cross-dressing thing." A what?" croaked John, and his voice didn't sound like his own. "You do," breathed Rodney, looking as if he'd just opened a closet and found a ZPM. "Oh my God, that's so hot." John put his face in his hands and thought, "This is not happening to me." Because in the Pegasus Galaxy, anything was possible. Maybe it wasn't. "Jesus, Rodney, look, I'm going to assume that the jumper has somehow interfaced with your mind and made you crazy. We need never speak of this again." "Interface with my... You're so..." Rodney spluttered, then pulled himself together. "I don't think so, Colonel. Can I add at this point that I think you've broken my radio and quite possibly my jaw? Not to mention that you took the last of the chocolate pudding at lunch. And there was that stupid 4-hour Athosian ceremony you made me attend last week. In summary, you owe me." John dropped his hands and stared, because Jesus, he hadn't seen this coming. Not from Rodney. "Are you blackmailing me?" Rodney's mouth fell open, and he threw up his hands, looking horrified. "No! And quite frankly, I'm offended you could even..." "Well, okay. Looking back over this conversation, I can see how you might think, but no." John let out a breath he hadn't known he'd been holding, then took another and held himself very still when Rodney stuck his chin forward in a way that meant he was about to do something that frightened him. "I'm simply proposing an arrangement." John narrowed his eyes and hoped that Rodney didn't mean what he thought he meant, that he wasn't that stupid. He shot a glance through the hatch to the jumper bay, still empty, thank God. "An arrangement?" Rodney cocked his head to the side and looked at him narrowly for a moment before his face changed and he took a step closer. "How old were you?" His voice was soft now, relentless. "You don't have a sister. Was it a cousin? Did you wait until they were all out of the house, then go through her closet to find something that fit you?" John let out a harsh breath that cut like a sob in his throat. Tried to say something, but he couldn't hear himself over the roaring in his ears. Rodney advanced another step, close enough that John could see the sweat glistening on his upper lip, and the way his mouth quirked up at the corner in a weird, grim little smile. "Did you jerk off in front of a mirror? Did you want?" Then John pressed his mouth against Rodney's, hard, anything to shut him up. And Rodney was kissing John back hungrily, licking into his mouth. When they pulled apart, John had black spots dancing in the corners of his vision, and he felt like he was running a fever, burning up. 14, he rasped, and thought hysterically, "Not prime." Rodney's eyes flooded closed, like that was the hottest thing he'd ever heard in his life. And he lunged forward and pressed his mouth to the side of John's neck with a lost, hungry whimper. John didn't seem to be able to get enough air into his lungs, and the combination of scratchy stubble and warm, wet mouth pressed against his skin was disorienting, threw the world off balance. "My cousin, Charlene, she had cherry lip gloss," he heard himself say, licked his lips and tasted the memory of the sticky sweetness under salt and coffee. And oh God, he'd never told anyone this before, and he couldn't stop, but he really, really had to. "I put it on, and I, Christ, Rodney, Henderson, it's okay," Rodney mumbled urgently into the hollow of his throat. Doors locked. I locked it. John. God, please." John let his head fall back with a groan as Rodney cupped him through his pants and squeezed. His gasped breathing was too fast, too loud. They'd both gone insane, totally out of their fucking minds. But right now, he couldn't bring himself to care. "I put it on, and I put on this black skirt she had." Rodney finally got John's fly open, and John had to stop and gulp a couple of breaths when his cock was suddenly released from the vice-like constriction of his pants, and what felt like all the blood left in his head rushed southwards, and a pair of her panties underneath. Rodney made another noise in the back of his throat, and shoved his own pants down as far as they'd go, and then was pressed up against him all the way, and oh God, it was good. Rodney's hand wrapped around them as he pushed against John in a sweet, clumsy rhythm, breathing words against John's neck, his jaw, his ear. John, you don't know. God, you're so... I want... Oh, Jesus. Rodney, gasped John. Fuck. And arched into Rodney's hand as he came, hot and shaking and shattered into a million pieces. When his brain came out of meltdown, John was sitting on the floor and Rodney was cleaning them up with a rag from his toolbox, still breathing hard and moving sluggishly. John, who was impressed Rodney could move at all, thought dazedly, "He has very nice shoulders. and grinned like an idiot. Rodney paused and looked down at him, and his smile was very sweet. "You are so freakishly beautiful. Get up now. They're trying to break down the door." John pulled himself up shakily, his whole body humming, and tried to tidy himself up. He became aware that his radio was buzzing in his ear, and probably had been for some time. "Okay, I'm coming. I just borrowed the door crystal to try something with the jumper," Rodney was yelling, already moving in the direction of the muffled thumps on the door of the jumper bay. John shook his head to clear it and opened his radio channel. "Shepherd," he said, and shivered as he tasted Rodney in his mouth. Rodney appeared at his door at just past midnight, hands held tightly behind his back and his mouth in a hard, determined line. And although John had been waiting for him for hours, pacing as he rehearsed this, he completely forgot what he'd been going to say. There was a purple bruise on Rodney's jaw, but it didn't look too bad. "Look, Rodney," he finally began. But Rodney blurted out at the same time, "We need to have sex right now." I think maybe," said John. And then Rodney was shoving him into his room, already right there with his hands on John's hips and his hot mouth on John's neck and his hair showered damp under John's fingers, muttering, "God, all day I couldn't concentrate. Do you have any idea? You were looking at me." And of course John had been, for fuck's sake. He'd practically jumped out of his skin every time Rodney came near him, paralyzed with the fear that he'd say something, let something slip, and the knowledge pounding at him that this was utterly, inexcusably stupid on so many levels. He still knew that, and finally managed to get his hands off the solid planes of Rodney's back, long enough to push him off, far enough that he could think. Rodney stared back at him, his eyes wide and dark, breathing hard. And John got as far as, "Look, Rodney, I don't..." before he had to stop and kiss the crookedness from his mouth, which pretty much screwed that line of argument. "Shut up," Rodney murmured into his mouth several minutes later when they'd made it to the bed and got John's shirt off. "You're not going to get this anywhere else. I'm the..." He paused as his head disappeared in his shirt as John tugged it over his head. "The soul of discretion, and I know your dirty little secret, which, in case you didn't realize, I'm totally fine with." John licked his nipple, and Rodney gasped gratifyingly. Then John figured, in for a dime, in for a dollar. And it wasn't as if they weren't already half naked. So he pushed Rodney down, crawled over him. "So, what kind of arrangement did you have in mind, exactly?" I said Rodney, high and breathless. And wasn't that a kick, that John had thrown that mind off track? "I thought maybe we could, have kinky sex on a regular basis." "Huh," said John, and licked a long stripe over the soft, pale skin of Rodney's stomach. He tasted good. "You know, I'm into other kinds of sex, too." Other kinds?" Rodney's voice cracked with alarm. "What other kinds?" For a brief second, John considered yanking his chain, but then decided that this situation was already kind of precarious, and perhaps it wasn't the time. He looked up and raised an eyebrow at Rodney, though, because, really. "Ordinary kinds, Rodney." Rodney jerked and pushed himself up onto his elbows to stare at John. "Really? You... really? Well, yes. Yes, obviously, regular, non-kinky sex could be part of the arrangement." John was considering whether to be offended or not that Rodney apparently thought he was some kind of one-button pervert when he had a horrible thought. "We're not going to write a contract, are we?" You know, it really is amazing that you've managed to stay in the military for this long, Rodney snapped. And John figured he deserved that. So he went back to touching as much as he could, wherever he could, because Rodney was warm and soft all over, but with the promise of hard muscles underneath on his shoulders and thighs. And he squirmed breathlessly under John's hands, even while he kept talking. Kirk jokes notwithstanding, having someone to touch, someone solid, someone real, was too rare a thing for John not to appreciate it. Besides, making Rodney lose his train of thought was cool. So, as I was saying, you get a safe outlet for your, well, proclivities. I get to participate, and we blow off some steam in the process. It's a perfect plan. And yes, John had clearly lost his mind, but right now, that sounded like a pretty good plan to him. That's not all I can blow off, he growled, because he just couldn't pass that one up. Rodney made a noise halfway between a snort and a squeak, and that was the end of that conversation.